Today we want to think on the subject of, should we study prophecy? Everyone's interested in the future. A little boy wonders what he will be when he grows up. A teenager wonders what the boy or girl will look like when they, whom they meet and will marry. And the athlete is concerned whether he will make the basketball or football team. Parents hope their children will be successful when they grow up. The nation thinks about the future, the economy or interest rates or the rise or fall of stocks and so forth. And most people are interested in what the weather will be tomorrow or on the weekend. And with all these predictions and future hopes, there are still doubts and disagreements. The future is too uncertain to be dogmatic about, at least from a human standpoint. Yet, there is a definite word about the future, as sure as the present and as knowable as the past, and that is found in God's Word. Only God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. Moreover, he has chosen to reveal much of the future to us through his word. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, we read this: "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read this: "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Man in himself is not able to control or discern the future, but God has given us the Holy Spirit that we might understand and know what the Scriptures teach us of the future. In John chapter 16, verse 13, we read this. John 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." And notice, "and he will show you things to come." And yet, there is a real ignorance concerning the things to come among many people. Some people say prophecy is so full of hard language that we can't really understand it, and so they neglect studying it. And then there's people that say we should be out winning souls and not take time for such time-consuming study. And again, it is important to be winning souls to Christ, but people that say it that way, they think that studying prophecy is not a priority at all. And then there's people that think such study should be done in the seminary classroom. There is no personal, practical application to everyday living in such a study. And so again, the study of prophecy is neglected. And then there are the liberals who deny the supernatural and thus find no meaning or reason in studying prophecy. What Jesus said to the unbelieving religious leaders of his day can be applied to our generation. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 to 3, we read, He answered, that's Jesus, and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. In our secular, materialistic day, many are not even concerned about these spiritual matters. Their main concern about the future is their pension, or their social security, or their life insurance, or the daily horoscope. Now, should the Christian be interested in such a study as prophecy? Well, what does the Bible say? Number one, Christians are exhorted to be students of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we are told, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Excuse me. And then in 1 Peter chapter, excuse me, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we read this. 1 Peter 2, 2. And here Peter said, As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, referring to the word of God, that you may grow thereby. Now, prophecy is as much of God's word as any other part or doctrine. When the scripture was written, 25% of scripture was prophetic. And even today, there is much prophecy that is yet unfulfilled. So it is important to study it. Secondly, personal blessing can be gained through the study of prophecy. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, we read this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So notice he said, read, hear, and then keep or obey. And then in Revelation 22, verse 7, we read, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So there's personal blessing in studying prophecy. And then thirdly, knowledge of the future gives comfort and hope to the child of God. Jesus told his disciples when he was going to go away and go back to heaven, and it greatly bothered the disciples. And then Jesus calmed their troubled hearts with these words, as we read back in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And since I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now Jesus calmed them with prophetic truth, and comfort came, comfort came to the disciples from the promise of a heavenly home and his imminent return, of the imminent return of Christ, so that he would come again and take them up to this heavenly home. When the young Thessalonian believers were sorrowing over the deaths of Christian loved ones, Paul wrote of the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the living saints and the eternal fellowship of the entire group. And then he concluded with what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Multitudes of Christians have received comfort from these passages. And then fourthly, prophetic truth gives incentive for Christian work and faithfulness. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 57. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice what Paul wrote in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, because of what I've written about what's going to take place in the future, you need to be steadfast, living for the Lord, and fervently serving the Lord. The fact that Christians could be caught up into heaven at any moment to receive a new body that is incorruptible, in other words, it's without aches or pains or sickness or weakness, and that That new body will last forever. It will be immortal. It will never die. This was an incentive for present Christian service. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, notice what the Apostle Paul wrote there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. He said this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So in other words, we all who are Christians will have to, will have to give an account for how we live and what we do to serve the Lord. Paul's evangelistic fervor and passion for souls was at least partly based upon the realization that he would have to give an account for his past in the ministry outreach of the church. And then fifthly, prophetic truth, prophetic truth challenges unbelievers to come to Christ for salvation. Paul visited the sophisticated, intellectual, and idolatrous city of Athens, and he preached to the philosophers on Mars Hill. And notice what he said back in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 29-31. Acts 17, beginning with verse 29. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth he men everywhere to repent." And then verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead." So Jesus is the risen Savior, and he will judge the unrighteous. And then in another verse, in Luke 3:7, Jesus said, "Flee the wrath to come." And that's an integral, very important part of the gospel to the unsaved. In Luke chapter 12, verse 40, we read this, Luke 12, 40. Okay, Luke 12, 40 says this, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man, Jesus, cometh at an hour when you think not," or when you don't think he's going to come. Now to, and now sixth, prophecy is proof of the authority of the Word of God. Going back again to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, we read this. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. And then we read in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at different times and in different ways spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And so what was prophesied by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15, we find it was fulfilled, and Hebrews 1:1-2 points that out. And then seventh, prophecy gives an appreciation of the power and the wisdom of God. Isaiah spoke to the idolatrous priest of Israel, and this is what he said back in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And then lastly, eighth and lastly, prophecy gives incentive for living a holy life. Way back in 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, we read this. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that's Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 to 14. We read this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the things of this world that we know, what different type of persons ought we to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then notice verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you might be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Yes, Jesus is coming again, and he's going to take us home. We who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, he's going to take us home to heaven. And it's very important that when Jesus comes, that we are living a godly life, that we are not just living for the world or living as the people of the world live, but we're living a godly life, a life that will please the Lord Jesus when he comes. So I trust that each of us might really take care that we are living for the Lord and living a life that would please him when he comes. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us in your word. And we thank you for the prophetic truths of the scripture. And Father, I thank you that Jesus is coming again. And he's promised that all of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, he's going to come and take up to heaven to be with him forever. Lord, I pray that each day we might be living faithfully for you, that we might be faithfully living for you and faithfully serving you, so that if Jesus came right now, we would be living a kind of life that he would be pleased of and that we would not be embarrassed of and not be ashamed of. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.